Well, thank you, Brian. Please get your Bibles and locate Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Genesis 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. So just hold it open and in readiness in your laps. You know, I heard about a survey where workers were asked to fill out a questionnaire that would determine their beliefs and free will. The psychologist measured several factors, including the workers' general satisfaction with their lives, how energetic they felt, and how strongly they endorsed an ethic of hard work. None of these factors, however, was a reliable predictor of their actual performance on the job as related by their supervisors. But the higher the worker scored on the scale of belief and free will, the better their ratings at work. Now that says something of a very practical nature of the importance of choice. And what it's saying is that those workers who strongly believed in their free choice and that their choice makes a difference in their job were the ones that generally had a better job performance score than those who did not. Now, that's a practical application, but it tells us something about the way we were created, the way God put us together, because God knew that we would be making these choices. Now, little ants, they do some marvelous things. They have little ant colonies. They have little workers assigned tasks. They have army ants. They have the queen ants. They work together. Scientists don't know why they do the things they do. I had a science teacher in high school tell me that when the scientists biologists have no clue as to why an animal does something, they call it instinct. We'll just call that instinct. But God wired and made the little ants in such a way and put it in their DNA and their genetics that they would do these things. But you know, the little worker ant never gets up on Monday morning and says, "Well, you know what, today I don't feel like going to work." The little army ant never says, "I don't believe in war anymore. I'm going to be a peaceful ant." Just never happens. Little ants are like a lot of things in the animal world. When God created the animals and the insects, He didn't create them like us when it comes to free choice. That makes you different from the creation, the other creations of the world. You know, in the Bible, we have a lot about free choice. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, there's an affirmation that human beings have this free choice. You go to work on your job, and on Monday morning, you wake up and, "Well, I don't feel like going to work," and you may not. Or, "I don't want to join the army and be an army human," but you may not. But the little ants, they don't know any different. They just go ahead and do what they're designed to do. But according to the Bible, God expects people to exercise their abilities to choose whether or not they're going to serve and honor their Father who created them, or whether or not they're going to do something else. In order to have a right relationship with God, we must understand the role of free choice in our salvation. Now, this is both theological and, as we saw earlier, practical, because that's just the way we're designed. We work better that way. Now, let's look at chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free.'" I want you to underline that in your Bible. Here from the get-go, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1. Now He creates humans, Genesis chapter 2. And He puts these humans in the garden because they need to have work to do. And he says, first of all, you are free. That is, you're not like the little ants. You are free. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat. Now underline that. Because we are free, there are also things that we must not do. That's what that means. You must do some things. Well, I got to go to work today because I want to get that check. I got to go to work today because the boss says if I take any more days off, I'm not going to have work to go to. So you're free to make those decisions. Little ant, he's not. He just gets up, he's a worker ant, and he just goes to work every day. Same thing, over and over. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. You are free, but not to do as you please in everything. There's some limits on your freedom, I think, is what God is saying here in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. Now the Bible says in verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And you may see the serpent personifies Satan, and Satan is going to tempt the woman in the form of the serpent. And so the serpent says to the woman, did God really say? Now, if that's not underlined, it needs to be. Because it's right off the bat, from the get-go. First question that's asked, do you know what God says? There's so much ignorance of what God says in the world today. A lot of folks who don't like what God says, they change what God says. Well, God didn't really say that this behavior is wrong. I know that's what that verse says, but that verse doesn't really mean that. So we play that little game. And this is the first thing Satan has, and this is how Satan will tempt you, is by, well, do you really know what the Bible says? Now, if you don't have a Bible preacher, you may not. You may sit in a pew for 5 years, and you may never hear a sermon like what I'm preaching on this morning. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, here's what God says. The woman actually knew the Bible. That is the Word of God. She knew what God had said. Well, first of all, she knew that God didn't say what the devil said he said. Did you notice this? Did God say you must not eat from any of the trees? Well, no. That's not what God says. This is what God says. You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. Not only must not you must not eat it, you must not touch it or you will die. Now, verse 4, this is the devil's lie. You need to underline this. You will not certainly die. This is the devil's lie. Almost any sin that I can imagine that exists today has its origins in the garden of Eden. And it begins with a devil's lie. God says this, but you will not, this will not happen to you. You will not surely die. That's all right. It's okay. You will not surely die. Verse 5, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now here's the point. Eve recognized that she had control over whether she would eat of the fruit. The choice was hers. Making the right choices is very important to how we feel, even about ourselves. Let me give you an example. Go to chapter 4. You remember the story of Cain and Abel. This is what happens in chapter 4. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. Now notice, this is how Cain feels about it. So Cain was very angry. You see, when you make bad choices, it'll make you feel differently than when you make good choices. Do you know that, church? I'm upset. Well, it's your own fault. I counseled with a lot of folks in prison. They were upset. And I didn't tell them, well, it's your own fault. And I should have, but I was thinking that. I didn't put you in here. So Cain was angry. His face was downcast. Listen, if you want to start feeling better, start doing a little better. You know what? That might help you feel better. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door, and it desires to have you, and you must rule over it. That is, underline that, you must rule over it. That means you had a choice in this matter. You've got a choice. That's what that means when it says you must rule over it. Listen, alcohol and drugs, you can rule over that, church. That doesn't have to dominate your life. Stealing doesn't have to dominate your life. Being lazy doesn't have to dominate your life. You can rule over that. Negative feelings are often the result of the choices we make. Feelings of rejection, inferiority, and low self-esteem can often be expressed in anger. But these negative states are usually the result of our own wrong choices. Look at verse 7 again. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? You'll feel better if you do what is right. A positive self-image is the side effect of mastering challenges and overcoming obstacles, and not the other way around. Now let me share an important concept with you, brothers. Now you may not think this is relevant, but this is relevant to you this morning, and it has to do with the Word of God, what's taught in the Word of God. But I want you to get familiar with a $3 word, and that's locus of control. That's a mental health term, but it expresses a biblical concept. If you go today and study psychology and you study counseling in this field, you're going to learn this word, especially if you're a cognitive psychologist, because cognitive psychologists believe strongly in locus of control. And what that means is, it is the way people view the circumstances of their lives. How do you view your situation? How do you look at life? And why do you look at life the way you do? This is called locus of control. Well, let me show you what that means. Number one, you can have what's called an internal locus of control. And by that you mean, it means that you believe that you have a great amount of control over your circumstances. That is, like Abel, if you make good choices, then you'll feel better than if you, like Cain, make bad choices. And by making choices, you can determine your future, your situation. You have a lot of control over that. But you know, there are people who have what's called external locus of control, that is, things outside of themselves are forcing them to behave differently. Now, I know there are some things out of control. The Bible says time and chance happen to us all. But you know, you can make the best of a bad situation, church.